Counseling question number 7. Define guilt biblically. Is false guilt a biblical concept? How do you deal with guilt in the context of counseling? Now, I have to start with a disclaimer that I didn't answer this question seemingly correctly the first time. I wrote in terms of feeling guilt, and this question seems to be indicating about positional guilt. A friend of mine and brother in Christ, Joe Whiting, did write this correctly his first time, and he graciously shared his response with me. So though I could provide my rewrite, I like what Joe wrote so much better. So here is Joe's response. The idea of false guilt is not biblical in its presuppositional worldview. Therefore, it's not a legitimate concept. False guilt is a Freudian concept. Freud basically said that false guilt is a result of the conflict between the id and superego. Freud left no room for the notion of sin in his worldly philosophies because he was a God-hater. One can pick up just about any biography about Freud and determine this fact. Freud's concept of false guilt seeks to separate guilt from guilty feelings. No true biblical counselor can legitimately mix Freud's notions and Scripture's truths while remaining faithful to God's words. Matthew 12, verse 30, Colossians 2, verse 8. In contrast to Freud's false philosophies, Scripture defines guilt as a legal liability and culpability to punishment before God, which all men are deserving of. Romans 3, verses 9 through 18, verse 23, and James 2, verse 10. There are no feelings of guilt without the presence of guilt because of the universality of sin. However, because our hearts are so wicked and good at self-deception, it is possible for guilt to be present without any feelings. Again, the term guilt speaks of the fact of liability and not the feeling that accompanies it. For example, a man can have a habit of speeding through a school zone at 55 miles per hour and feel guilty. Indeed, he is guilty. This man could choose to succumb to his guilty feelings and slow down to 35 miles per hour in order to soothe his conscience, but he would still be guilty because the school zone speed limit was 15 miles per hour. The man did not feel guilty, even though he was, in fact, still guilty. In the case of this man, the counselor would need to explain to him that he is not the determiner of whether or not he is actually guilty, but it is God who determines guilt. He would need to be informed that he is not the judge of his own guiltiness or innocence, but that God makes the determination, and that his sin is serious, because God is a holy judge. Romans 1 verse 8, Romans 2 verses 5 through 6. The counselee would need to be admonished to repent of his prideful minimization of his sin. On the other hand, there could be a man who drives 12 miles per hour in a 15 mile per hour school zone and feels guilty. The man could have been raised all his life to believe that it's not safe to drive any faster than 10 miles per hour in a school zone, and thus it is sinful to go any faster regardless of the speed limit. If that man feels guilty in his conscience for driving 12 miles per hour, his guilt is not false because he is sinning against his conscience. Romans chapter 14, verses 21 through 23 tells us that anything we do that does not proceed from faith is actually sin on our part. If that man believes that he is sinning against God, or even might be sinning against God, and he proceeds with the action despite his conscience condemning him, then he's actually sinning against God. The counselor would need to guide the man in this scenario to repent of his rebellious attitude against God. Afterward, the counselor could discuss with the man whether his self-imposed standard is biblical or not. Either way, our conscience, which is only as good as it is biblically informed, is not our guide. God's word is our guide, and the counselor ought to steer the counselee in this direction.